Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hey, real quick, before we get started, I have a favor to ask. If you've listened to the podcast before, or if you enjoy the episode you're about to hear, please like the podcast on social media, and please leave a review. Having listeners like and review the podcast is the fastest way for it to grow and reach more people, and we really want to share our stories with the biggest audience possible. Thank you. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone Real Estate Team. That's right. We sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anyone looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, count me down, Brian.
Count him down. That's the only reason I'm here. All right, three.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, a.k.a. the House of Jones, a.k.a. the house that Jones built.
We don't like that one. Remember, we went through this last time. We don't like the house that Jones built. Yeah, it's the House of Jones.
House of Jones, aka the House of Jones.
Dang, there was another one. What was it though?
It was the house that Jones built. I thought you said
the house that Jones built. That doesn't make any sense.
We did talk about this last time. I'm not going into it again.
All right, let's do it.
Today, awesome special guest Michael Guerrero with MG Consulting. So this guy is a digital marketer, entrepreneur, veteran. If your business needs brand strategy consulting, digital marketing, they can help. Michael, welcome to the Jones Zone, man. Good to have you.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, man. So, that was real quick and brief.
I got to say something before we get into that. You have your Moped to Memphis this week, right, Chris? Would you tell a little bit about Moped to Memphis and how... I tell you what, he's a pretty woman.
Did you see that picture?
I saw that picture. He posted a picture on Facebook last night. He's wearing makeup, and I gotta say, pretty girl.
Not bad.
I think you should have been born a woman, to be honest.
Have you heard of Moped to Memphis? Have you heard of this?
Not.
All right. So my buddy Frank Falls, who's a teacher down in Clover, South Carolina. Every year, this guy drives a moped from Clover, South Carolina, to Memphis, Tennessee, and hand delivers a check for however much he collected that year to the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
That's pretty awesome.
So they collect money all year, and then he goes down there during spring break when the school's out, takes his little moped and drives. Do you remember how long he said the trip was?
It had to be... No, I don't.
I don't remember.
But he said he takes all these back roads and you're riding through the hill, the mountains.
Just for safety reasons, he's
got
to take a bunch of back roads and it's just like crazy. Yeah. So he's got like this caravan of people following him behind him. But this weekend, Saturday.
It's a womanless beauty pageant.
The womanless beauty pageant. That's kind of their.
Womanless beauty pageant.
Their main event, their main big fundraiser. So it's a group of guys and I'm in it this year.
I think you'll win. It's like a talent show, right?
Yeah.
So what's your talent?
I've been working on some jokes. I'm going to do stand-up.
Awesome.
I look amazing as Brian referenced as a woman. I probably would have done better for myself as a woman than I have.
Now, being competitive, if I was to shave and throw some makeup on, who would be a prettier girl, you or me?
Me, because here's the reason why. Because you got those bags in your eyes and stuff.
Makeup covers the bags, you dummy. My eyelashes.
All right.
Let's go. Let's get
it. Michael's like, why am I here?
I think it would work.
All right, Michael. I feel like I should reintroduce him, but anyways, I gave a quick, brief introduction. But if you don't mind, share a little bit of your personal story, some of your professional background, and then how you got started with MG Consulting and all that, man.
Starting back, I was in the military. I was on the verge of getting out because I had three surgeries.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm originally from New York.
Okay. Yeah,
originally from New York. Came down here, went to college at Rowan Cabarrus, and then enlisted into the Marine Corps. Got shipped out to California, stationed on Camp Pendleton. After three surgeries and one needing at least a year to recover, I ended up deciding to get out of the military during the process of being on, medical leave, I should say. I had all this free time, and so I put my leave in to step out, and I went into Palo Alto and went to Amazon, and I started doing their whole marketing courses and programs and things like that. A lot of the stuff that I studied in the military to develop demographics and psychographics to profile people converted over very easily into marketing. So it was easy for me to just do that because the computer did all the work for me. I didn't have to go out and now take notes and do all that.
So you worked for Amazon? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I did their Amazon affiliate program and I went to their school.
Okay.
Then I ended up doing a challenge. I ended up winning. I went to New York and worked
like
for...
Like what kind of challenge?
It was a 60-second challenge. And I ended up working for... prestigious marketing company out there, and they took me underneath their rope and wing, and everything's been going on since then. When I developed my company, it started off consulting for just like governments and doing government contracts for like veterans and things like that, and I didn't have a name yet, so I didn't know exactly what we were going to be. So I, because I needed to establish an LLC, MG Consulting was formed, and it's just my first and middle last initial. Now we're doing a whole vlog series where we're going to talk about the rebranding and building of what's going to be now known as Pure Media. And Pure Media is going to be the mecca hub of Pure, which is going to be modeled after the Virgin brand. So if you studied Richard Branson, anything that says Virgin, he owns. And obviously, he had to do some type of marketing. If you've seen, I was talking to Brian about this. When Virgin Airlines was being released in the United States, he literally, he dressed up as a woman and did the opening.
He said the fastest way to become, he didn't say fastest, but the best way to become a millionaire was to become a billionaire and buy an airline.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Did I say that before on here?
It's in his book, so yeah, I guess that's what you quoted. But yeah.
So it's been a pretty interesting journey. Met a couple people, did a lot of... I'm a huge nerd and geek. Some people don't see that.
No, I can see it.
you watch Game of Thrones?
I have, actually. I mean,
you have?
I haven't seen the last season yet. Haven't seen the last season because it ended with Jon Snow and.
What? What did you say?
It ended with Jon Snow.
Hey, spoiler alert. Okay, we'll get on.
Don't worry about it. I've lost interest.
Got it.
Brian's a crazy GOT nerd.
So you want a Targaryen princess?
Queen.
Unbelievable.
All right, here we go. Sorry, I keep getting off tangent here.
What is Pure Media? Is that a phrase that you've coined? I've never heard that before. What is that?
So Pure Media, I was part of a think tank, and one of the things that they were trying to help me with was come up with a different name, pretty much, instead of MG Consulting, that's very generic.
Oh, okay. So,
so Pure Media is going to be the marketing company of the holding company Pure. Which then can be attached to anything very similar to Virgin, where you have Virgin Mobile, Virgin Airlines, and whatever the case may be. Being in business, everyone knows you need a couple things, but the main thing you need is marketing. You can have the best product in the world. If nobody knows about it, it's not going to be successful, and vice versa. So the whole idea of building Pure Media up was to go ahead and then invest or purchase other companies at a low cost, and then put them through the branding machine of Pure Media and then spit out a new branded company. So if I were to take, I don't know, Nintendo and purchase that company and then rebrand them, they could be the next Xbox or the next PlayStation and bring them back from where they were. I mean, when Nintendo came out, everybody had one, and then they just slowly trickled off. So things like that. It's a long journey and process, but it's a fun journey to begin with. I mean, I wouldn't take anything back. I got to meet people like you guys. I got to meet Thomas, who's running the mastermind. And then, of course, going to like all these events, people are coming up to me. I went to one with Robert Kiyosaki's group. That was pretty interesting. And to meet all that whole sphere of people and how they think. Like, they start talking about the difference between the rich and poor mindsets. And I was starting to think about stuff like where people are trading their time for money and they're not trading their value for money, which is a complete different mind shift. Like when people hear the phrase time is, they normally finish with time is money. No, time is valuable. You know, if you want something done right, people normally say you have to do it yourself. I now have come to learn that if you want something done right, you hire an expert and you pay them well for it.
It
frees up your time. Yeah, are you willing to take 40% and give them 60 so that they could go ahead and do the job correctly, and now you have all that time and you're just banking a check? Why not?
Right, I like that.
So
So, all right, so you're a digital marketer. What is digital marketing for the people listening who may not know what digital marketing is?
So if you have a mobile phone, a laptop, desktop, or whatever, and you know now that everybody's on Google, YouTube, Facebook, and all these different platforms, how are you, and you're an entrepreneur, how are you going to get your business in front of those people? Tapping into that network of the internet is digital marketing. Whether that's Google AdWords, whether that's your vlog or your blog, or you know, your website that you just so occasionally to happen to plug into Facebook every once in a while so people could see it on the news feed, things like that. So you know, it just depends, and it's very, each social platform, and when it comes to digital marketing, you know, some businesses that are brick and mortar would want to advertise more on Google because obviously of Google Maps and things like that. But if you're a service-based business or a tech company, or you're an e-commerce store, you're better off going onto the social media platforms and then interviewing and going and talking to influencers in the atmosphere so they could go ahead and pull that attention over.
So what's SEO, search engine, like how does that play into it?
So SEO is a very much a 20-year play. A lot of people... Yes.
Jeez.
It is a 20-year play because SEO would also fall into the category of content marketing. You know, they're
What is content marketing, by the way?
Right. So content marketing, one, has been around forever. So if you remember the newspapers, when the newspapers were out, everybody was reading the articles and things like that. They were reading the content within the article. That's what made them popular. What made Maxim popular was because of the content of the females in the magazine. You know, same thing with Sports Illustrated. Like one of the things that Sports Illustrated has done to try to boost numbers is they're going to interview Kris Jenner, Kylie. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Not only they're gonna break through, but it's pretty interesting.
I don't want to see that, to be honest.
It's gonna be interesting. Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting. I mean, I just finished watching Dave Chappelle on Netflix, and he's like, I kind of don't want to, you know, I have nothing against anything,
right?
But if you're gonna do it, go all out. The only problem I have with it, and these were Dave Chappelle's words, he goes, I don't have the internal strength to not look.
Exactly.
And I was just like, oh dear God.
that was actually a really good special on Netflix.
So, she's being in the swimsuit today?
She's doing a nude shot.
Nude spread in Sports Illustrated, so that's going to be interesting.
That family is something else, man.
Well, I mean, what you have to look at in that family is they literally built their popularity off of social media. You know, obviously there was a video that came out that brought attention, but the mom is pretty much the head honcho. She is a business ninja.
She's a mafia don.
She is a business ninja. Like, this woman is insane. Her daughter's 20 years old, has a marketing, a makeup company, Kylie. I don't know if you guys follow her at all.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I know who she is. I don't follow her.
She has an F by the BBB. Yes, an F. Her company's marked F. But thanks to social media and the attention, her company did $450 million in revenue. She profited $160 million.
Makes me sick.
At 20 years old.
Mm.
White labeling other makeup.
So what's white labeling for people who don't know? I know what it is. Chris, do you know what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Chris don't know what it is.
Go ahead and
take much, yeah, so with any product or service, you could white label. So you could go ahead and get somebody that has the formula for a makeup product and then slap your brand onto it and then resell it as your own.
Makeup and sports supplements are really big into that. A lot of people, you know, like private label rights, they buy the rights to this product and then they put their own label on it and sell it as their own.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, services are even doing that now, especially with people. Businesses are starting to understand they need to get online. Like, for instance, I don't know if you guys... have seen the news with Macy's shutting down 100 stores and moving. They went from $5 million on digital marketing to $50 million budget on digital marketing, which is insane. Amazon,
they're
dominating.
Adapting. Yeah,
because they have to compete with companies like Amazon. Because Jeff Bezos is a beast. Like, he is, that's it. He bought Whole Foods. Like,
who do you think is the best entrepreneur alive right now?
Alive right now?
We got Elon Musk, we have Jeff Bezos, Brian Jones. Michael Guerrero.
Right now, I would say, well, there's a handful of them, but the top, I would say Elon Musk, definitely, because for his innovation. However, you have have to have Jeff Bezos in there just because of everything that he's doing. I mean, he's got to the point where he bought Whole Foods and you could walk in, grab something off the shelf and walk out the store and you get charged. You don't have to wait in line no more.
Yeah. Is that true? I heard they were rolling that out. Is it rolled out already?
Not yet. He's trying to implement it in different stores.
How does that work? Do they put a chip in you?
RFID chips.
They're putting a chip in you?
Not in you. They're going to put chips attached to the food products. And then that is going to go ahead and log into your account and then charge you there.
Scary stuff. Is that scary?
Yeah, of course.
It's pretty scary.
And then you have Elon Musk, where you have now the SpaceX project or the Teslas that are driving themselves, where they're already doing test runs with self-driving cars in, I think it's Pittsburgh that they're doing it. So imagine getting in your car, how much time you have now. You don't have to worry about driving. The car drives for you. Siri, take me here.
And I'm very interested in that that underground tunnel that he's got going on, too.
Hyperloop.
Yes, the Hyperloop.
Yep.
Yeah, that goes like, how fast does that go? Like 500?
673 miles
and
per hour.
It's like a magnet. It pulls you, right?
It's a vacuum. It's actually a vacuum tube, so there's no air in there. What this does, it actually reduces the wind resistance, being that there's no air in there, you're able to travel faster. So what happens with that, is going to be insane, because now you look at Amtrak. When airlines came through, Amtrak kind of went down, but they were still surviving because of the prices, right? Then you had the airlines take over because it was just faster. Now they're saying that with this Hyperloop, you're going to go from LA to New York in 30 minutes in a train. That's a long drive,
man.
Long drive.
Can the body take that?
Or that's what I'm saying. Like, I got my own. I have my own thoughts about that type of stuff. You want me to get into it or not?
Not really. He didn't quite finish what he was talking about. SEO being a 20-year play. So we got into content marketing, but why is that?
So SEO is a 20-year play, being that you're playing the keyword research game. So there's new keywords that are always being researched on Google, and you have to update it consistently to be on the first page or to get ranked on the first page. You have, your generic terms where, for instance, I do digital marketing, so obviously I would have to incorporate that somewhere on my website. But now when the content changes to content marketing, I have to rebrand it or re-put the keywords within my webpage to content marketing and how it would all fit underneath that. So if you were to look at a thesaurus and everything dealing with content marketing, or better yet, go on Google keyword research, type in content marketing and all the related searches that go with it, and try to plug in every single one of those words into your website so that you end up on the first page of Google.
What type of companies should use SEO then?
Like, so SEO
and AdWords, like, versus mm-hmm. Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that.
So when it comes to that, I mean, anybody could really do it. I mean, I was saying earlier, Blendtec. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that company. Huge, famous blender company.
Blenders?
Yes.
Okay.
So when it comes to like SEO and content marketing, people don't care about what it is you do. They want to see it. They want to hear a story, right? So if you think of a magician, the magician comes in, you know what's going to happen, but he tells you a story. He sucks you in, and then all of a sudden you get surprised at the end and you want to see more. Things with like blogs. So if you're a podcast, you can transcribe all the words said into a blog, and now that'll cover your SEO because you attach that to your website, right? So everything we spoke about, those keywords will pop up and generate in the field. So when people go to search that, it would show up on the first page of Google linking to your site for your blog. And that's why I say also it's a 20-year play, because you have to constantly either keep updating it or constantly keep putting in information into it. You can't do it just once and then set it and forget it. It's not the George Foreman. You got to keep pushing through. Blendtec did something great with content marketing, and it was pretty interesting. They hired a marketer, and I just saw this on a documentary last night. They're a team of engineers selling blenders. And they were wondering why, if they have the best blender, nobody wants to purchase it.
Yeah.
Well, their marketer was like, hey, what's all this sawdust on the floor? He goes, oh, that's so-and-so messing around, testing the blades of the blender. He goes, cool, I'll be right back. Went to the hardware store and toy store, comes back with marbles, a freaking crowbar, and all these other things. He goes, I'm going to go ahead and record you, and I want you to dump these marbles into the blender and blend the marbles. So that's what they did, and they recorded it. That video ended up getting 6 million views on YouTube, and they hit a home run, and BlendTec became the Lamborghini blender for the industry. So now...
What industry? Restaurants and stuff like
for
that?
For smoothies.
The blender industry, man. The ninjas and stuff.
So you have like the Bullets, the Ninja Bullet. You have the smoothie stores that everybody has, you know, and Orange Julius and all this. They now get BlendTec. Yeah. Because of these videos that are going out or the content and the things that happen there. People saw the story. It was something to grab their attention that they wanted to pay attention to. And literally some people bought the blender just to see if it could actually do that and still hold up. Like, why would you buy a blender to go ahead and blend marbles together? I have no idea, but people do it. And it's interesting now with digital marketing, getting back to that question. I mean, to think if you're a huge Pokemon lover, right, and before Pokemon Go came out, and you did a whole YouTube skit on Pokemon alone, you could make a lot of money because you were the go-to source. The people that were documenting themselves as the influencer or the head authority for Pokemon, let's say, when Pokemon Go came out, they got interviewed. I know people that make $150,000 a year playing video games. Like, you would never think this. I have a friend, she's actually an MLG player, so the Major League Gaming. She's a major, like, she competes. I'm pretty sure it's Major League Gaming. I'm not even sure.
I have no idea. That's why I looked at Brian.
You could have told me. Yeah, Major League Gaming sounds right to me. Yep.
What's it called? So, for instance, everybody that likes Call of Duty, you could get paid and get put on a team and now go around the world traveling, battling other countries, playing Call of Duty, making six figures a year. Like, it's insane the amount. People will watch it.
Like, pay a ticket to come watch a bunch of people play Call of Duty.
Yeah. There was a huge game that happened. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, and it was Street Fighter, and it went viral. The guy had like a hairline of life left. Then the other person went and threw like a 60-move combo, blocked everything, and then won and knocked this person out who had full life.
That would be exciting to watch.
So it was interesting because all you see is block, 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 boom, and people get confused. It's like, how the hell did you just lose? But that content distributed on YouTube went so viral that it made it fun and interesting. So it made these events now where geeks were cool again. Like, you know, it's like we could record this and now we have friends. They want to see our skills on video games or whatever. It's pretty interesting.
Barry Levinstein. Oh, snap. It's Barry Levinstein.
Barry's going to fight. Duh, I couldn't think of a name. I was trying to think of a funny kind of dorky name, but I couldn't really.
Norman. He's going to fight Norman. What are the tips to have a breakout video on YouTube or something like that? I mean, it just kind of happens organically, right?
A lot of it is organic. I mean, you could do paid advertisements to get it out to more people. But, I mean, it's the difference between inbound and outbound marketing. Like, you could pay for it to get it in front of people. But unless your content is great, it's not going to break out. So, you know, you want to have something that's capturing the eye's attention. There's a reason why people still look at a car while it's moving towards them and they're crossing the street when they could just get out the way. Your brain has to make all these assessments. You know, is it good for you? Is it bad for you? Is it going to kill you? So on and so forth. The same concept happens when you're scrolling through your newsfeed. It's easy to take a look at a still image and just scroll through it because you can make a quick assumption it's standing still. But if it's moving, you have to stop on it to see if it's worth your time, which gives you about 3 to 5 seconds in order to capture the person's attention. And then, of course, from there, you go into your story. And every story, you know, beginning, middle, and end. The beginning in anything, I mean, when Star Wars came out, it could be a 3-hour movie, but the trailer, you only saw the fight scenes. Like, who remembers Yoda, you know, battling it out in the trailer, you know, with his lightsaber? Because nobody's seen Yoda fight before. You're like, holy crap, I want to go see this movie. Then
is he a good fighter?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he would definitely kick my ass.
Okay.
Green turd.
Look him in his
what is he? What
years? He's a green Pomeranian. I don't know.
he's a Yoda, man.
He's a Yoda.
But he's got to be some sort of
he's an alien.
Creature.
I don't know.
Alien. Alien I am. All right, shut up with the talking backwards.
Maybe somebody watching can... What is Yoda? Is he
what
like...
What is Yoda? All right, so what is MG Consulting? All right, and break that down for me again. Pure Media is under the Pure umbrella, and that's
so
your company?
Pure will be the holding company. We're doing a dissolution. MG Consulting is doing a dissolution in California because that's where we were established and okay. Where we first started. But if anybody does business, I'm pretty sure there's people out there. California has the highest taxes ever in the state of United States, period. So just to have a business there, you have to pay $800 franchise tax. Not on top of that, you also have state tax. Then you have sales tax. Then you have service taxes. So it's just, like Brian said earlier, you have to be rich to be poor out there.
Jeez.
So it's just ridiculous and way too expensive.
I got that from Kanye West, by the way.
Okay, yeah. So make that up. I loved the name Pure Media so much. Did you hear what I asked him? I thought he was legit asking. I thought you were saying that was the new phrase for like all this digital stuff. Like when you said Pure Media, did you catch that? That's what I thought. That is an amazing name, man. Good for
appreciate
you.
It. Thank
yeah.
you.
All right, so MG Consulting or Pure Media, whatever it ends up being, what do you actually do? What value and service do you provide for business owners who are overwhelmed with all this social media stuff, looking for help? They call you. What do you guys do?
I provide guidance, strategy, and clarity. So people will be like, oh, well, I posted something on Facebook, but nobody paid attention
nobody
to
cares.
It. Nobody cared.
Join the club.
It's just like, well, I did something on Twitter and nobody, you know, liked it or commented. I'm like, well, did you use a hashtag? And they're like, well, what's a hashtag? And I'm like, oh, we have a long journey ahead of us. So for instance, like we do everything from social media to paid media on Google AdWords and things like that. We will come up with the creative to go ahead and get your information out there. The designs, the graphic designs, we do very basic website design, nothing too crazy. I remember, and this is how much of a techie I am and how now I'm showing my age. When Angel Fire came out, I was building websites on Angel Fire back in the day.
Or GeoCities?
Yes. That was during the times of Napster. So I was definitely doing all that, and I was just hooked on it. It was really easy for me. So now you have drag-and-drop templates that you can just go ahead and put everything in there, but you have to know where everything goes. Why isn't your social media at the top right versus all the way at the bottom? And I just came across this the other day with a client. She's like, nobody's finding me. I went onto her webpage. All her social channels, her contact information is all the way at the bottom, but all her interesting stuff's at the top. So nobody leaves the top page. It's built on a parallax, so it means it's just one page and you could just scroll through. Everybody stayed between the top and the middle, and they're like, where's all her contact information? Because it was at the bottom. It wasn't on the top. So you have to get all those things in order.
The top right-hand side of the website is the prime real estate. That's where you want it.
That's prime real estate. Then the left side would be for your logo, for your brand, things like that. When it comes to strategy, we go, you know, down to the nitty-gritty, like your color strategy. Why'd you pick those colors? Do you know the psychology of color? What do those colors mean when people see it? Why pick blue versus red, you know, and things like that. And I have a whole, like, infographic that I could go ahead and send out to your guys.
Yeah.
Anybody that's watching this right now, I could go ahead and, you know, set you up with a color psychology and all the different brands, like Fanta, why is it orange and blue? And it has the whole description. Coca-Cola, why is it red? Red Bull, red, yellow, blue, silver, whatever. Red drives action. It means activity, so on and so forth, all these other things. But they want you to trust them, so they throw blue in there. And then yellow, they want to hit everything else. But then they go into niche markets, right? So when they did their marketing, Red Bull gives you wings. They tell the story, right? You're supposed to be energetic. So Red Bull didn't go to, they went to certain fields. They went to the X Games because that had a lot of attention. They went to the breakdance world where all these people were taking Red Bulls and, you know, they were getting all this energy to do amazing things. Then they filmed all that content. Then they had the guy that jumped from the stratosphere.
That was awesome.
That was epic. And people thought now, if I drink this, I can act like them. No, you can't. But the thought is great.
No, you can't.
Let's be real. Come on.
No, I'm going to the ski slopes tomorrow.
Yeah. No.
Don't.
I'm
please.
Gonna. I got a snowboard.
I'm gonna jump in the stratosphere.
So yeah, we handle at MG Consulting strategy, paid media, social media, marketing and management, and Google AdWords. If you need help with any of that, we could definitely help you there. Put a whole plan together, and go through behavioral targeting and geo targeting for you. And set that all up.
What's the difference between, in terms of strategy, business to business versus business to consumer? Like, if do you do the same strategies? I mean,
no.
So no. What would you do if you were a business owner that caters to other business owners? Like,
yeah, well, it also depends on the field that you're in. I mean, Tony Robbins, he caters to everybody. He's both B2B and B2C, but me being a digital marketer and being a company, I do B2B marketing. So I would have to market to the CEOs and entrepreneurs and how to get into their circle of friends and get to them. But if I have a software that I'm trying to sell to a consumer, that's a different marketing strategy completely, because I'm trying to convince that individual that my product is going to benefit them in some certain way. You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're doing B2C is when they're marketing to the consumer, they talk about the features, but they don't talk about the benefits. People don't care about the features. What is it going to give me? What is it going to do for me? The same thing happens to me when people hire me. What are you going to do for me? How are you going to make me money? You know, how am I going to arbitrage your attention? Things like that. And so there's different strategies. So B2B, I mean, if you have a cake business and you're doing B2B, I would definitely go to a convention or whatever at a hotel and go to the banquet manager and then give them free samples. That now catering manager goes up to, you know, the controller, whomever, says, do you have this within the budget? I want to use this catering company or this cake business to do our banquets now. And that's a B2B transaction. But what happens if you want to go ahead and sell birthday cakes to regular people? You would go ahead and open up a shop, give free samples out, like what Walmart did. Sam Walton, who's a genius, started the whole free sampling thing, which now everybody replicates, BJ, Sam's Club, and all these other things, which is a
I never take the free samples. I feel obligated to buy it. I do. I don't want to.
I feel so guilty.
Here, try this key lime pie, and I'll eat it. And I'm like,
no, you gotta have the
lady's just looking at you.
Lady's looking at you. Please buy.
What do you think? They don't get paid based on.
Do they not?
No, come on, man. They're hourly. They're just standing there giving you stuff.
That's a game changer for me. I thought that maybe they. I didn't know that.
Get your free samples. Who cares?
My free samples then.
Yeah, right, there we go. They take one pie and cut it into 800 pieces. It costs them $4.
What do you think? All right. When you say it like that,
yeah, hey. You're not. She's not like.
Let me hand out a bag of meatballs.
She's definitely not working on commission. All right. No. Did you buy a pie? Dang it! We've sold four pies today at $16. All right, you get 3% of that. Thanks, boss. 3% of $16. No, you've been going about this all wrong.
Yeah,
eat the free samples.
Yeah, just got you. I mean, but that's one way to get your foot in the door, right? You said you felt obligated to buy. Other people might actually like what you have, but if your product sucks, you can also get instant feedback right there to tweak it.
Oh, no.
I literally have seen. I've seen somebody take a Swedish meatball at BJ's. I'll never forget it. The lady tries it and spits it out of, like, this is the trash can. She splits it out on the floor. She's like, that is horrible. I was like, what in the world?
Where's this lady's self-awareness?
Wow. I was like, I'm sorry, but the floor is right next to the trash can. I don't know if you saw that. I'm just saying it's about a half a foot difference. Like 6 inches to the left, you would have made it into the trash can.
What happened to me was involuntary.
Yes.
I couldn't make it to the trash can. My body wouldn't allow it. Your body wouldn't allow it. Man.
But no, it's pretty. I love what I do because my main thing is growth, right? I'm always trying to learn about something. And when I get to work with these different companies and businesses, I actually get to learn more and more about their industry and how to speak to their community. Because every industry has their own community. So if I'm working with, you know, a doctor, I get to figure out, well, what is, you know, wellness and how do you go about speaking to that community where my buddy down the street likes to eat Big Macs? How do I get him to come over and eat a turkey burger with me, like, without looking funny? Or for instance, like with chiropractors, like, does this hurt? Because it sounds painful. Like, I've been in the room and heard somebody's spine crack before. Like, it's not the most pleasant sound you want to see or hear, because, you know, they'll grab the person's head and they're like, just relax, woof, and you're like, oh my God, what just happened? The neck does not move that way. Like, they're like, we're just readjusting you. So it's pretty interesting. Who was another client that I had? So, when I did a little small project for Sony, CES, out in Vegas. It's the large tech convention or whatever. They have smart windows, right? So you wake up and the window will project, like, your iPhone, the weather, your Facebook.
That's some Iron Man type stuff. That's literally like Iron Man.
Like in London, they have, what's it called, smart tables that came out through Windows and Sony. They have this together where you can order your food and it'll drop the images right there on the table.
You're just literally.
Yep. And you're just like, nope, I don't want that. Or here, let me play Pac-Man for a little bit.
That's crazy.
Like, it's insane the things are gonna have, like, that are coming out. There was another one. One of my mentors told me about it. They have smart pants. like a belt that has an app that goes to your phone that doesn't let you purchase stuff because your belt is being stretched out too much. So it helps you stay in weight balance. Like, it's insane.
Like the food?
Stuff. Like food. Like, there's smart refrigerators that are coming out that when you have one beer left in the fridge, it'll go ahead and reorder another six pack and then Amazon will deliver it to your house. Yeah. Like, that's
with a drone.
With a drone.
With a drone.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's insane. Like,
so you've mentioned mentor and conferences. Like, what do you do to stay on top of all this stuff?
I read a lot. Although in times that I don't get to read, I literally will have, you know, the phones nowadays, they can actually read articles to you. So while I'm in the car, I'll listen to, you know, an audio book. I'll catch up on whatever, you know, next TED Talk is talking about, the next, you know, futuristic thing or something that's happening. Take a look at shows every once in a while, like Shark Tank, to see the innovation. Apple had a great thing called Planet of the Apps, where it was a Shark Tank version of, with applications.
Yeah.
And there was one application that came out, which was great. You can literally take a picture of your home and then go online to a store and then put the furniture and drop it in, and it develops like a digital API like version of your house. So you could, through your phone, you could see the furniture in your home and you could see how it looks in that space. So therefore it saves you the time and trouble of trying to fix your picture in your head when you go to IKEA. How's this going to actually look in my house?
Wow.
It doesn't even fit, Janine. We're not getting it.
Yep.
What are some ways that businesses can do free marketing?
So with free, you know, it's funny because I say free marketing, people like, they shake their head. They're like, what the hell do you mean free? Like, I didn't know it was free. It's called the blog or vlog or any one of these social channels. Like, Grant Cardone made a good point and he had everybody take out their phone. He goes, what do you use your phone for? And people were like, text messages, emails, check my Facebook, check my Twitter. But you can also use those platforms to market yourself for free. You know, do a selfie shot, do video, do a vlog or document your journey of trying to make it through the struggles of being a dancer, or start writing, be the expert blogger on interior design so you could go ahead and then make friends with different real estate agents that will recommend you to do interior design or stage setting, you know, things like that. So when you start blogging and things like that, it also gets your information and your, talent out into the world. And, what it also does, it also makes you the authority figure. You know, people don't write books for themselves. They write books to make themselves an authority figure. And normally when you say, I wrote a book, people all of a sudden think you're really smart. And sometimes they're not.
Well, I wrote a book, so... And you're not really smart,
no.
So that proves his point.
Wait, yeah, that backfired.
Yeah, it did.
But anyways.
So let's talk about LinkedIn and Twitter real quick. If you have to choose, say you're a real estate agent, B2B is typically LinkedIn, Twitter. What would Twitter be good for?
So B2B would be more so if you're looking for a job or you're in the B2B environment. Because there's business owners, CEOs, and things like that. Now with LinkedIn Premier, you can actually develop leads from there because you could see who went and saw your profile. Like, it's weird. So now I can see all the creepers that came to my page just to see what I do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hello.
They keep trying to get me to buy that. Like, I keep, hey, so-and-so visited your page.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see who it was?
Was. It's like, yes, I do. I do.
How much is it?
Or like they leave anonymous comments. I think it's crazy how they're trying to capitalize on sending an email now, which is insane.
Right?
LinkedIn wanted to charge me $5 to send one email through LinkedIn to somebody because it was considered lead generation.
Oh, man.
Instead, I just found that person on Facebook and sent it for free.
Yeah.
So things like that is
LinkedIn
free
hack.
Marketing. Now with Twitter is just, okay, picture yourself walking into a bar and hearing everybody talk about different conversations. One person's talking about the way their date was horrible last night. The other one is talking about the football game. One's talking about how they're going for the Patriots. One's talking about business. And you could jump into the atmosphere of any one of those social circles and say the thing that makes a better conversation or shuts the conversation down. You know, it's pretty interesting because it's so active and everybody's literally updating it so consistently, you have to stay on top of it. So people that are trying to break through in Twitter, they're not realizing you can't just post one time a week and somebody's going to pay attention to you. Like, you have to do it at least 3 to 4 times a day with the utilization of a hashtag, which is a way to accidentally get discovered on both Twitter and Instagram. But I mean, the transformation is just insane. Like, the political campaign was ran through Twitter and social media.
I know, CNN something else.
Was like, check our Twitter feed. Like, yeah. Donald, how many people have seen Donald Trump's Twitter feed on the news lately? Like, yeah. It's insane. Yeah. And it's funny that Twitter actually just got rebranded as a news app versus a social media app.
Is Twitter in trouble? Ultimately?
Twitter can be in trouble. I don't know exactly where they're going yet. I think it was smart for them to go into the news field because now it's more of a niche area versus just trying to stay on top of, you know, the 140, now 240 word or character update pretty much. When it comes to news, I mean, you could be everywhere. Like, capturing... So this is one thing that I learned, and I learned it well. What businesses need to understand is that, and these are not my words, these are words from somebody else, you're a media company first, slash whatever you do, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that people need to know about you. So if you think about it that way, and you tell your story, people will care more so about the story than what it is that you actually do. They'll just do business with you because they like you. Like, nobody goes on a date with somebody because they don't like them. Like, it doesn't make sense. And then you're able to take that attention and that story-building mode and develop a culture. Like, ClickFunnels, for instance. ClickFunnels blew up because they created a culture. Mm-hmm. You know, Funnel Hackers was on their t-shirts, and everybody got t-shirts. I knew people that literally signed up just to get a t-shirt.
I get two t-shirts. All right, let's do it.
I mean, it's just pretty interesting because if you look at... the world is of business. Products, or, you know, certain products or some type of service, they have a life cycle. When it comes to culture, it just keeps going. Whereas the life cycle of the product that gets forced upon somebody, it starts, it has a middle, and then it dies. MySpace. It started, had a middle, and then it died.
I miss MySpace.
And then, you know, you have a culture now where Facebook developed a culture. And it was very interesting how Mark played it out, because first he knew the psychology of it. People want what they can't have. So let me just say, this is for college kids, right? Because the college kids are going to go out into the workforce and they're going to be like, crap, I really wish I had my Facebook account and it just built upon that, right? Because you have college kids graduating, you have winter and summer. So he's converting all these college kids into employees now, talking about how Facebook was so amazing while they were in college. Then releases it to everybody, where they did the word of mouth marketing for him, and now he has funds, a lot of them. I mean,
you know what, I'm going to give him the nod over everybody else, just the way Facebook has changed everything. Facebook in terms of like the best entrepreneur. I mean, that's crazy, man.
You have to look at his mentor was Steve Jobs. When he, you know, the IPO launched and Facebook got really big, Mark actually studied and mentored underneath Steve Jobs. Everybody had a mentor who's made it, that were successful. I mean, who was it? Alexander the Great had Socrates and Aristotle and all these great philosophers. Benjamin Franklin, so on and so forth. Warren Buffett had Benjamin Graham. So he wrote the book Intelligent Investor. So if you look at that platform, you could just find somebody smarter than you, or where you would like
that's
to
my
be.
Problem.
That's Brian's problem.
I just can't find people smarter than me. It sucks.
It's difficult.
So
it's
I don't know what to do.
All right, last question. If you're LinkedIn stories, or not LinkedIn stories, Instagram stories, Snapchat.
Ooh.
Which is a better platform to be on?
If
you're a business owner,
if you're a business owner, it depends who you're marketing to. So if you're trying to sell something to the demographic of 25 below, Snapchat, hands down. But if you want to do 25 and above, go on Instagram. The highest number of selfies collected on Instagram are females above the age of 35.
These housewives, I tell you what, they're trying to take everything.
So, and then it starts getting more to when you start getting to like the 45, 50 age range, so on and so forth. It's pretty interesting because, you know, I'm not the only person to say this, but you get literally cougar selfies on Instagram flying around. And it's like, huh, interesting. Makeup does make you look good. You know, it's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah,
interesting. What are the age demographics in terms of where most people are spending their time? Because I would assume Facebook's number one, the king. People under 25 are heading to Instagram, or where do you think?
They're transitioning between both Instagram and Snapchat. Everybody's obviously on Facebook, and the reason why everybody's on Facebook is because it's a hybrid of everything, right? You know, it's interesting to think that people at a time before they bought Instagram, when they purchased it for $1 billion and somebody said they stole Instagram, they said they were crazy. And then WhatsApp came along and got bought up by Facebook for $15 billion. They were like, holy crap.
What'd they buy?
WhatsApp.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, the messaging app. So now they have all these live features and video and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. The age range is, it's, you know, if you look at the way people are functioning, if you just pay attention to your surroundings and your environment, not to say spy on little girls on their phone and try to check what apps that they're looking at, because that's just weird. Yeah, and creepy.
The airport.
Excuse me. Can I see your phone real quick? But just to see how people are actually interacting, like everybody's like, oh, add me on Facebook. Well, how old are they? Pay attention to that. You know, or if you have kids, you know, how are they communicating? Are they on Tumblr still doing their blog, or they got a WordPress account? Like, things like that. But definitely 25 and under would definitely be on Snapchat, and then above that I would definitely go and market on Instagram, because it's the easiest way to start developing attention. And I was telling this to Brian, you know, attention arbitrage using influencer marketing. If, you know, let's say you're in Charlotte or you're a real estate agent, why don't you go ahead and pick out the zip codes and become the mayor of those 5-6 zip codes and develop a relationship. Let people, you know, see your stories of, oh, this is the school, blah, blah, blah. Interview the principal, things like that. Become the mayor of that area, and people will start referring you. And it'll start snowballing. And then 18 months after you help them, you know, purchase or sell a home, say, send them a bottle of wine or something. Oh, my God, I hope you loved this, you know, the house, you know, the way you did 18 months ago when I first helped you, you know, purchase it. Develop that relationship. And they were
not,
like,
let's list it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What?
It's like, oh, my God, I love this person. You know, you should definitely use Chris, or you should definitely use Brian, or you should definitely use Michael. All these things, you know, built up. It's all about relationship building. And when influencers come into it, you know, if you were to take, it's funny because I go to Elevation Church. So you have Pastor Stephen and all this other stuff. He did a video recently with Charlemagne the God, right?
He did?
Yes.
Wow.
It was this past Sunday. Huge, huge person, right? What happens if you were to find Charlotte's Charlemagne and bring them on?
Who's Charlemagne?
He's Charlemagne the God?
He's a
god. No, he's the Breakfast Club. He's a VJ radio.
Yeah.
He's been featured. I mean, he's on podcasts.
He's all over the place. But what if you could find somebody like that? Or what if you could find?
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because Charlemagne the God's from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, where and I was listening to him on Michael Rappaport's podcast a couple weeks ago, when he mentioned he was from Monk's Corner. I was like, I wonder if he knows Stephen Furtick. And it's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, they went back to Monk's Corner. They went to the same school. He actually knew him, but he didn't go by Charlemagne. He went by Larry and all this other stuff. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But what if you were to take somebody that has 100,000 followers in the area that gets an average of 10,000 likes on their photo, and then bring them on and arbitrage their attention, bring in their audience into your group? Now their following is paying attention to you because, well, I like them. I like the way they interact. They're funny. Whatever the case may be, you're developing, and it's what Pitbull did when he broke through, right? He started off with his whole rap scene with Little John, and then all of a sudden, he comes out like a year later in a suit with shades being featured with Neo and all these other people, and now he's the highest featured, I guess, music artist now, because I can't even call him a rapper because he does a lot of things. But he's all known. He's literally worldwide. He's featured with everybody. He's also the richest one. He falls into the top 5 underneath Jay-Z and P. Diddy. You know, it's pretty interesting. Like, it's insane. And all he did was fall into different categories. Neo had a big following. Let me do a song with him. Now his fans become my fans.
I think I'm going to be known as the Pitbull of real estate.
Yeah.
We will be the Pitbull of real estate.
Yeah, because you kind of just latch onto me and you... you appear and you're featured in what everything I do.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. So.
Well, Michael, let's take it home, man. Take the last minute. Just kind of remind everybody what you do, and more importantly, how they get in touch with you.
Oh, definitely. You could go to mgconsultingnow.com. Look me up on Facebook, Michael Guerrero. We handle your digital marketing needs when it comes to social media and Google AdWords. And we build your creative. We'll build your strategy and. Yeah, take it from there, and we'll help you understand and break through the noise of the digital world.
There you go. Well, Michael,
Thanks for coming on the Jones
Zone.
Thanks
for coming on the Jones Zone, the House of Jones.
Pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to have you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.